A new disease turned up in the U.S. hog industry in May.
You're watching Ag AM in Kansas. Well, a new swine disease problem has unfortunately burst onto the U.S. pork industry. By name, it is porcine epidemic diarrhea virus.
The virus threatened to kill whole litters of piglets. Quickly, the National Pork Board made $450,000 available for research on the disease. That fast-track process put funds in U.S. labs in 2 weeks. But usually, the Pork Board's methodical review of research proposals takes much longer, says Paul Sundberg, the Pork Board's vice president for science and technology. It's committee work.
On those committees, we work hard to get as best a cross-section of the producers in the country that we can get.
Sundberg says small-scale producers volunteer to sit side-by-side with big company representatives on the scientific advisory committees. Some perennial research topics include food safety, antibiotic use, and environmental impact. But not everyone is satisfied with the Pork Board's decisions since the mandatory checkoff began in 1986.
When it first came out, I was in favor of it.
Iowa hog farmer Paul Willis.
And with the change in the hog business, you know, there aren't really very many individual independent hog farmers these days. So I think primarily the promotion and the money is used for promoting industrial pork.
Willis is the founder of Nyman Ranch, a producer group that uses traditional outdoor housing rather than large confinement barns and generally favors smaller scale production of specialty breeds, including Berkshire pigs. These Berkshire piglets race around their nursery on a farm in State Center, Iowa. They'll grow up to be fattier than other hog varieties. Iowa State University animal science professor John Mabry has a $10,000 grant from the Pork Board.
This particular project was aimed at looking at this Berkshire genetics as a little bit different genetics than the commodity pork.
His study aims to find the best feed recipe for this type of pig.
So if we're going to try and create the correct nutritional program for them, we've got to have certain pieces of information in order to do that.
Once he has those, Mabry will take his initial results to farms like this one to have farmers test how well proposed improvements actually work. Yet even with research like Mabry's, Willis is disappointed in the checkoff. He says niche producers like him don't really see much benefit. Yet all hog farmers pay 40 cents into the checkoff for every $100 worth of hogs they sell. Back in 2000, a narrow majority of hog producers voted to end the mandatory checkoff. But after a series of legal actions, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which oversees the program, determined it would stay.
There was a lot of effort that went into this, and we actually won the vote, and then it didn't matter.
Willis doesn't feel that what benefits the broader pork industry necessarily helps his business. Some recent research topics, such as antibiotic use, correlate with public concerns. The Pork Board's Sundberg says that doesn't drive the agenda.
We've been funding research, for example, in euthanasia and in sow housing for 15 years.
Animal rights activists have pressured pork producers on these topics, and the industry has worked to improve its image. But the messages the Pork Board pushes to the public first are vetted by Sundberg's team.
We're the department that's responsible for the things that are said. They'll take those research results and they'll massage it to understandable language for consumers, for the public. But then we take a look at it back again.
Sundberg says the science must support the message. With about $5.5 million going to research each year out of an $80 million budget, science is neither the top priority of the Pork Board nor the biggest player in swine research funding, but it's an integral part of both. In Ames, I'm Amy Mayer, Iowa Public Radio News.